Hi, welcome to the Word Sower Podcast, a podcast where we get personal with God's Word, discovering how it's relevant and alive today, and how we can respond. I'm Robin.
And I'm Mary. In each episode, we read scripture, ask questions, and discuss how God's Word has impacted us. So don't miss out on the insights, stories, and laughter as we learn together about what God is saying to each one of us and find encouragement to share it with others. Follow the Word Sower Podcast for a dose of good news. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mary.
I'm really grateful to be here with you this morning.
Oh, I am too, because the Word is life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yep. So that's what we're studying in the Word Sower Podcast, where we are washing ourselves with the Word, and we are scattering that seed, sharing the Word of God, because it is life. And what are we studying today?
Well, you know, Thanksgiving season is upon us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's the leaves are turning. I can look out my window and see the golden leaves of the yellow maple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the cooler weather is here. And, you know, the Bible is filled with thanksgiving.
That's right.
Because of our Creator. God is so good. So the one theme that I love, the one psalm that I think of that I memorized as a child in the King James Version, but we're going to do the New King James, but is Psalm 100. And it's an invitation to enter joyfully into God's presence, and His faithfulness extends to our generations and beyond. It's anonymous. It's not, we don't know who wrote it, but it's in the Bible, and I love this psalm. It's only five verses.
Will you read it for us?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So here it goes. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations.
Amen.
Amen.
So tell me what you love about this psalm.
Well, you know, I love, it's a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to His people. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, I love to praise the Lord, and that's one of my love languages. I play guitar, and I sing, I've never been asked to do a solo, so if that tells you anything, I'm not, I'm slightly...
Well, you probably solo every morning for the Lord.
Yeah, in my own bedroom. in my car. But one of the times, even in the last couple of weeks, I said, Lord, what can I do that would please You? He said, sing to me.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you think about it, what can a child ever do for his or her father? You know, the father is the provider and the protector and the maker. And, you know, what can we give him except ourselves and our joy and our love for him? And what a beautiful way to express that in song.
Yeah, and if, you know, praise the Lord, praise is mentioned in the Bible, rejoicing, praise, all of that. You know, Mary.
Over and over. Yes.
I mean, that is a major theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He is worthy.
Yeah, He is.
So I'm one of those double-handed worshipers. You know, I used to make my dad so nervous because we grew up in a church, a Protestant church that they would, you know, everybody coming into the service got a bulletin, an order of service. And there was even an asterisk that told you when to stand and when to sit. Mm-hmm. If there were moments of corporate prayer or response. They told you exactly what to say. And those were the only things that you ever said during the service versus in the congregation that we worship in together these last several years of my life and my whole like second half of my life as a Christ follower, not a member of a denomination or anything like that, but as somebody that's intentionally seeking to follow Christ, which didn't happen until I was 32, I just respond. And I respond, you know, I don't try to call attention to myself. It's not self-focused, it's Him-focused, and it's a response. So if I'm excited and jazzed up by the sermon, amen, right on. If we're singing and I'm really contemplating what He has done for me, how can I not raise my hands to Him? That's my response. I don't look at somebody else and say, you must worship in the manner that I do, but I feel like we are free in Christ yes. to respond. And as in some of the Psalms, some of the Psalms, which are the Word of God, do say, lift up your hands, shout, yeah. make a joyful shout, whoop it up, you know?
Yeah.
Like David did in the streets, right?
Right. He was unashamed and he was very uninhibited. I love the church cultures that are loud and shout joyfully. Mm-hmm. I love the dance. I love when many churches, not the one I'm in currently, but they're dancing to the mm-hmm. Lord. Mm-hmm. You can tell if people are, we should be free. He's our God. He's our Creator. He's redeemed us from hell, Mary.
Amen.
He deserves our praise, and we have a lot to be excited about.
He poured out His blood for me.
Right.
We all were born of a woman who gave so much to deliver us into this world, and thanks be to God for them. But nobody's poured out all their blood for me except for Jesus.
And nobody ever will.
That's right. And so, you know, what if He's done that, what would I withhold from Him? And I'm not saying I do it perfect. I'm not saying there aren't times when I'm not, you know, when I would go to church with my father, you know, we'd be driving to church and, you know, he'd say, okay, now no rolling in the aisles. and I've, for the record, I have yet to roll in the aisle. I don't know if that would ever come up, but it hadn't. And so it was just kind of a funny way for him to say, I'm not really comfortable with wide open. And, you know, it's an upbringing, it's a culture, and you know, I don't know what it's like to spend at that point of his life, you know, 75 years of his life, you know, a lot of it in a very strict Catholic culture and then a moderated, you know, Protestant culture. So I guess it was a culture shock for him to worship with me. But
did he worship with you? Did he come down here?
No. When I would visit him in Maryland.
You would occasionally go to another church.
We would go. It was the church that I grew up in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he and my mom were one of the couples that founded the church that I grew up in. And so, my brother and I, you know, we were sprinkled as infants and we went through these little steps that you do just because you get to a certain age or, you know, it's just expected. And then in my 30s, when I became sober by the grace of God at age 30, and then my step 11, my growing consciousness with God, who I didn't know except as God, I called him the God of my recovery.
Mm.
In Hebrew, it's Jehovah, that name is Jehovah Rapha. He's the healer. So that's real. That's a real name. And so, but I didn't know his Hebrew names. I didn't know, you know, how he was related to the word, because I just sort of rejected for a time everything that I knew, because I was just so empty and broken. And I think that's a great place to start, you know. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit.
Yeah, it says a bruised reed he will not break, and he came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free.
And just to start empty instead of full with God, to say, I really don't know everything about who you are. Will you show me? And his Holy Spirit was with me, and he revealed himself as one. The Holy Spirit identified Jesus as the Son of God to me.
Yeah.
He led me to follow Jesus in my apartment at Topsail. And then, you know, I, you know, walked down the aisle at a church and surrendered to following Jesus, and began reading scripture. And just as a seeker, as a, as a poor in spirit person.
He really doesn't give you very few people get the whole enchilada when they get saved and born again. I think I was, as a 14-year-old, and I was in a church that didn't talk about heaven and hell, so we had a lay witness mission, and they talked about relationship with Jesus. But what struck me and what I was after was unconditional love. Mm. When I was, you know, my parents were wonderful, but it was like, it was conditional. Were you going to be a good girl or bad, you know, bad girl? And no, they were wonderful parents. I'm not saying that, but I never experienced, and Mary, nobody experienced unconditional love except with Jesus Christ.
That's
because
right.
Everybody is conditional. I guess a dog would be the closest thing to unconditional love.
But in terms of people.
In terms of people.
They all have deal breakers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and like rightfully so, we all have some boundaries. I have we had a family friend who, he just was so mentally ill and violent. Even his parents, unfortunately, had to enact a restraining order
to protect
safety.
Them,
right.
To protect them and the other children.
But there's nothing that we can do that can, you know, in Psalm, I know we're focusing on 100, in Psalm 139, David says, where can I go that you're not with me? You know, anywhere, even if I go into make my bed in Sheol, you're there. You know, there's nowhere that I can go that he can't reach me and that he doesn't love me.
That's right.
So it says in verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. And I love that because, like I said, during that time of having fallen away from my church upbringing and, before I made a commitment to follow Christ, I had this little season in my first couple of years of sobriety where I just said, God, as I don't understand them. You know, the 12 steps talk about God as we understand them, and I really didn't.
Right.
And right here it says, know that the Lord, and it's, if you look in the text, it's L-O-R-D, it's the small caps, which means Adonai. It means Yahweh or Jehovah. And it says, know that Yahweh is God. You can know. You can know. It's right here. We didn't make ourselves. We're not just a product of a man and a woman. You know, it's the Lord who has made us. And again, in Psalm 139, and I'll probably just include the whole psalm maybe in the note.
Yeah.
But he knitted us together in our mother's womb.
Right.
And we know, like, my mother couldn't get pregnant. My parents could never have children. My brother and I were born in our parents' hearts. We grew outside of my mother's body, you know, because she couldn't have kids. And then they adopted us when we were infants.
Mm.
So he always knew that we would belong to our parents. He always knew who our parents were going to be. He chose our times, our days, mm-hmm. and he chose our parents, and he's ordained every part of our lives.
Yeah, Mary, that's so true. You know, a lot of people act like, you know, their own gods. They, mm-hmm. They do their own little world. They do it their own little way. And they become their own God, and they don't believe in God. So, in other words, they become God. But the scripture says it's He that hath made us and not we ourselves. And you just referred mm-hmm. to Psalm mm-hmm. 139 and all these other Psalms that we know that He's our Creator God. Mm. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, I was looking into that verse, and then in 1 Kings 18:39 it says, in the Old Testament, you know, it was a big, big battle between Baal mm-hmm. and Yahweh, mm-hmm. and said, who's God? They said, Baal is God, Baal is God. Oh, yeah. And then they did
hopping around and cutting themselves.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And so they had the big showdown. Mm-hmm. You know, the OK Corral of the Old Testament with Elijah and all the prophets of Baal.
I love it.
And they said, OK, it hadn't rained, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and all that drought. Time. And they said, Elijah said, well, you know, the God that I serve, he created rain. He can make it rain. Mm-hmm. And the Baal said, oh, we can do it. Let's do the big sacrifice. And guess what? In that verse, it says, now when all the people saw it, nothing happened.
Now remember, they even drenched the bulls on the altar.
Yeah.
They dug trench around the sacrifice, around the altars, yeah. and yeah. filled the trenches. They drenched the bulls, they drenched those animals, and they filled up the trenches with water.
Yeah.
Now I'd say it.
Yeah. And so, so God sent the fire down mm-hmm. and consumed the sacrifice.
Licked up everything.
Licked up the
flames
water.
Licked it all
yeah.
up.
So then when they saw it, these people, and this was in Israel. Mm-hmm. This was in Israel.
All right.
And it says, now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God.
Amen.
The Lord, He is God. And that's a verse about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, when the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. And like you said, the stones and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. So, yeah. So was that cool or what? So
He is the Almighty. He's El Shaddai.
Hello?
There is no one like Him.
That's right.
And that's right.
He's proven Himself and His faithfulness since the beginning of time.
So we can know. And, you know, so here's an aside. We have set the parameter for this podcast as explicit, not because it's a dirty show, but because it deals with real stuff in life. The Bible talks about real life. It talks about who He is and who we are not.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse right here in verse 3, it is He who made us and not we ourselves. That's the reason why we must stand against abortion right there. When these people say, it's my body, it's my choice, you have a body.
But that's another body. The baby's another body.
That baby was created by the Lord and not by you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mary, I've seen it's easy to say you're pro-choice when you're not the one being killed.
Life and death belongs to the Lord.
Right.
And that's it. And, you know, so, you know, when my parents wanted to have children and children didn't come, that was His decision. And it was not my parents' decision. They wanted to have children. And then they were able to fulfill that desire in a godly way, because, you know, that's the gospel. Adopting the fatherless is the gospel, because
exactly.
because when we were fatherless, God mm-hmm. adopted us. He adopted us into His family. And so, you know, for all of the adoptive parents out there, thank you, mm-hmm. thank you, thank you, not just for helping a child, but for communicating the gospel to the world. I mean, that's what that is. So we must remember who he is and who we are and who we are not. And there is great joy in the fact that he is sovereign. You know, we do, like, when you find yourself, you know, there are plenty of times I appreciate you know, I want to make a joyful shout to the Lord because he's so good, because he is sovereign. He is God Almighty. He is the creator. You know, it could have been a world just wound up like a watch with an indifferent maker who walked off. And
that's right.
And if your watch, and if the watch breaks, so be it. But we don't have that. He's not only the author, but he's the sustainer of life. And so, you know, we do come before him with hands raised and shout in joy. But also, there are times when I don't feel joyful, when I don't feel, and I don't mean to say when every bone in my body is bitter, because I don't feel like that anymore. I do have times of sadness, even, you know, moments of depression.
Sure.
You know, just
you're
like
human, you're human.
Just like David, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Hello.
Yeah. You know, when David was up, he was dancing in the streets. When he was down, he was alone in the cave. And, you know, but he always recognized that God is God. And so, you know, we don't have to be afraid of having the full gamut of feeling. And so this psalm is, as you said, it's fall right now. Life happens in seasons, and our praise doesn't come in seasons, but the shape of our praise may come in seasons, you know, where I've
exactly.
got
good point.
Where
good
I've
point.
Got, you know, hands up and dancing, and there may be other times when I'm on my knees weeping, and that's okay.
It is okay. And, you know, yeah, I've had the gamut of expression and of feelings, even as you have. And yes, there are moments I am depressed, but the closer I am to the Lord, and there's seasons, there are dry seasons and there are rainy seasons, because it is cyclical. So I totally agree with that. But on the whole, and I even looked up in the Old Testament, but I mean, this was, this is a song of thanksgiving. But even in the Old Testament, like Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 48, it said, because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you will serve your enemies, and whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness. And I mean, it was really bad stuff, but it was obedience. God really does care, I believe, Mary, joyfulness on the whole. Not every moment. You're not going to be every moment. But
well, we can. We can be joyful in the midst of depression.
Yeah.
And it may not be a shout of joy, but it may be a cry in with joy in the midst of tears. And that's kind of where I am now.
And that's okay, because your joy is in him, not in your circumstances.
Amen.
And not in your situation.
That's
but
right.
It's always
it's
in
not
him.
In a person.
Yeah.
Other than him.
Exactly.
It's not in a job.
Exactly.
It's not right. It's not in, did I get my way?
Yeah. And are all my children doing great? But you had a great thing with your kid this.
Yes. My daughter got married yesterday, and that was and I absolutely was filled with delight and joy and gratitude, and just felt happy. It felt good to feel happy. And then recently my father passed away, so it's been a roller coaster of feeling lately.
Wow.
And you know, I appreciate you bringing up this psalm, because whether we are weeping at the bedside of a loved one who is leaving us, or we are standing out in the rose garden with a loved one who is marrying, first of all, we're not alone. You know, we're not alone. And second of all, I can be thankful to the Lord that, hey, guess what? No matter what's going on, I'm sober. I'm saved. I'm a daughter of the King. I know who I am. And I have something to bring to the situation. You know, once upon a time, I was the biggest part of my world. And it, you know, when I read those scriptures that you talk about my enemies, enemies are selfishness,
you served your enemies. That's the enemies we both served. Alcoholism. Yeah.
Yeah, and just darkness. I don't need an exterior army to come mm-hmm. against me to experience an enemy. I have that tendency of flesh built in enemy, and you know. But praise be to God, I am victorious over that through Jesus Christ. You know, He says, "Take heart." He says, "You will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I've overcome the world." And when I read that, I do consider the culture and the world enemies. There are real armies who are enemies of God: Hamas, ISIS, and so on. And the Nazis and the next one that we don't know about yet, you know, they'll keep trying, the enemies, the satanic forces, the spiritual darkness. But that when I read a lot of the time, when I read scripture and it talks about my enemies, I read, self-centeredness, self-pity, despair, you know, hopelessness.
Yeah.
I'm not hopeless. I can be sad and joyful and, you know, hopeful in Christ.
Yeah. My biggest enemies, and I think most Christians can say that, it's not the devil, it's not Satan. Of course, he's there. That's a real thing. But it's ourselves. It's our own will. It's our own flesh. Mm-hmm. It's our own emotions mm-hmm. and triggers that trap us. Mm-hmm. And we can go cascading down into a pool of self-pity in a heartbeat, or into despair or depression.
Yeah.
Maybe we misinterpret something, or maybe it is real. Yeah. And we've got something to deal with. But knowing that we can hold the hem of His garment, or we can hold on to His hand during mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. deepest depression we might feel. And hey, I was, you know, termed way long ago, 50 years ago, as bipolar. So I understand the depths of depression mm-hmm. and it ain't easy for people who go through emotional illness and mm-hmm. mental illness. I do have a heart for them because you can't see it. With a physical thing like cancer or right. something, a broken bone, or there's pain, but emotional pain is so...
People are so intolerant of mental illness.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And, you know, but He's not.
He's not.
I love all the instances in the gospel of the four gospels of Jesus healing. And so many of them, you know, when it looks like a demonic... a demonic possession... And, you know, how many people with substance abuse or mental illness are struggling with a spiritual, you know, demonic hold on them?
A lot of people today, and they start taking all these psychopharmaceutical, these new custom cocktails.
Well, and we're not saying
you can't take them.
You shouldn't take your medication according to your doctor.
Exactly.
But you've been able to be free of that.
I have.
Some people do.
And I was given a drug that was too strong for my biochemistry, and it was a tricyclic antidepressant. If you get the wrong antidepressant, it can really mess you up, or you get the wrong psychopharmaceutical.
Or antipsychotics.
Or antipsychotic, yeah. So,
however, disclaimer.
Yes.
My girlfriend burnt down the Heart of Wilson Motel because someone told her she shouldn't take her mind or mood altering substances that a doctor had her on. And
she should have taken those meds.
And they were appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're not doctors. We don't practice medicine. We're not telling anybody what to do.
That was just my experience. But I'll tell you what, God is the healer.
Yeah. But I will say also too, Robin, is that Yeah, I struggled with depression, I guess, since maybe 11 years old. And finally, through a series of circumstances, ended up on an antidepressant. And I got some relief, but it didn't heal my soul. So, you know, it kept my wrists intact. It didn't change my heart.
Only God can change your heart.
And that's what happened for me. So, you know, I understand that sometimes, medication, it's exactly what we need to be able to survive. But please, I feel bold enough to say, please don't think that's enough. It's not enough. It's not a cure for a soul sickness. It may be, it may correct a chemical imbalance, and that's imperative. And I support that. However, it's not enough. It wasn't enough for me to really heal my brokenheartedness and to give me direction and purpose. I don't think there's anything over at the pharmacy that can give me direction and purpose.
Only the Lord can do that. And, you know, we want to proclaim His good news, you know?
You were saying, Robin, that we can put our hands in His hands and He is with us as we go through those hard times. Also, you know, the church, the capital C church, you know, He created us to be able to edify each other, which, you know, means build each other up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can't expect to succeed when I'm down like that, when I'm David in the cave. You know, even David in the cave had like, 400 guys with him, right? There was always a circle of mighty men around him that he never was completely alone. Jesus would go off to solitary places, but he didn't stay alone. Like, mm-mm. You know what? Y'all rejected me. Never mind. And then just went off. You know, y'all are hypocrites. Never mind. And then just went off by himself. Not so. You know, even Jesus Christ humbled himself to hang out with a bunch of just
fishermen.
Regular, right, people who were from time to time quite annoying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're having trouble with, well, some of those people at church are annoying, yes, they are. Just like you are, just like I am. At any given moment, we are, you know, we have BO, we have bad breath, we may have a bad attitude. And all of us are forgivable because of what Christ has done for us.
Yes, amen.
We forgive because He's first forgiven us. He forgave us first. And so, yeah, we need to enter His courts and His gates with thanksgiving and praise.
Yeah, like when you enter like the Queen of England, or you go into
I miss her. Do you miss her?
Yes,
because we haven't quite made that transition yet.
No, but when you go in front of a sovereign, you know, power, you want to have some praise. I mean, this is the creator of the universe and your creator, so you want to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. I mean, that is just protocol.
The King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen.
Yeah, because He's worthy to be praised.
Yes.
And He's so amazing. And Mary, I just love this Thanksgiving psalm. And, you know, when we're around the table in Thanksgiving, our kids are far away, so we have adopted families that we bring in.
Oh, wonderful.
And, yeah, and sometimes widows who are by themselves and don't have family.
Nice.
And even one time when nobody could come, we made plates and sent it out to our neighbors who were especially widows who were by themselves. But Thanksgiving is a time to share, and it is community. And the Bible is very vertical, but we've said this before, vertical and horizontal.
Yes.
You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So you love God, you love people. And
that's right.
That's where community comes in. And, you know.
Yeah, usually I work on Thanksgiving night. Paige and I, we like to spend the morning together. And Sometimes we've gone out, you know, out in the woods and sit in a deer stand.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cold.
It's kind of cold.
It's freezing.
But yeah, we've done that. Sometimes we've just stayed home and had a quiet lunch. I don't eat turkey, and he does. He's a turkey hunter. And so...
What about with Hannah? Do you ever...
Well, you know, so because of the way things went, I'm not married to my kid's dad. And so my daughter has like three sets of parents, two parents and a set of in-laws. And so she is pretty much consumed with all of that. And then usually, like I said, I try to work the holiday. I'm a nurse. I work 7P to 7A. And then, we do quiet vegan Thanksgiving. And it works for us.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. And then we have a get together with our friends on the last Friday of the month. And this year, we were pretty much shut down from COVID for 4 years or 3 years. This is our fourth year post COVID, and hallelujah, by the way.
Yeah, praise God.
So this year we have access to the kitchen where we gather, and it's a lot of alcoholics and single broke people and some couples and stuff. So
special. It's a special fun time together.
It's
going to
be a really fun eating meeting this year. So that's how we celebrate. We celebrate a little bit late.
Yeah, and that's okay. And sometimes we have done like, let's go around the room and tell us what you're most thankful for. Mm-hmm. That's always a fun thing.
What are you most thankful for, Robin?
Oh my gosh. I'm thankful for you, Mary, mm-hmm. right now. This podcast has been a blast, and this is a new thing within the last 6 months.
Right.
And I'm thankful for, first of all, for Jesus and my walk with him. If everything went away and I just had him, I think I could be okay. He's more than enough. But I'm so thankful for my husband, Tom. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for him. I'm thankful for my children, my grandchildren. I'm thankful for my friends, my family, my church, my, just friends and family. Mm-hmm. God has given me some amazing friends. Mm-hmm. And they're all, they build me up and encourage me when mm-hmm. when I'm down. They pray for me. When they're down, I pray for them. You know, nice. we have to help each other.
That's right.
You know, we need each other.
And you even feed them. That's so beautiful.
I'm working on my cooking skills. It's one of my goals as a 72-year-old.
There you go.
To learn how to cook.
That's right, Julia Childs.
I want to be a real keto cooker. But anyway. Yeah, that's beside the point. But yeah, cooking is a lost art. Everybody goes out to eat,
Yeah.
And to have people come over to your house and
eat. Oh, that is a lost art.
That's a lost art. And it's a very special thing.
Yeah. Mealtime is special.
Yeah. I mean, even in Jesus' time, they broke bread, the Jewish people.
Yeah. It's intimacy.
It is.
Yeah.
You share things when you...
Turkey or no turkey, carbs or no carbs.
Doesn't matter what you eat, just so you eat.
It's personal, right? Taking time at the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. No phones, right?
Yeah, no phones. I heard about this girl who went on vacation. She accidentally left her phone at home. She said it was the best vacation she'd ever had. It was like the 90s, she said, because she really spent time talking to people, being present, being in the conversation, and being in the moment.
I think that's my number one thing that I'm thankful for. Is it's not any one person, it's the intimacy. You know, it's my heart cry that I have, and it's why I wanted to be remarried. I missed having an mm-hmm. intimacy, a heart connection. So my very first intimacy, I guess, is really with the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he is the most significant anybody that's ever been in my life, because when I'm angry, when I have bad words in my mouth, when I have joy, when I have corny jokes, when I want to take picture of the bug that landed on my car, I have all these photos of insects in my phone, and there's really sometimes there's nobody else to enjoy them with, but I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that. And he and I, we do. We look at that. We
that's, you know, great.
We love the outside. Mm. We love the creation, the nature, the beauty. Mm. We love music together. We worship together. He and I. He prays for me. He has a bottle for my tears. I love my husband. I love my children, but they really don't get me. Like, now I'm not saying they don't get me, but they don't get me like he does. And it's just, it's...
That's right. Boy, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. Only
so
he.
Deep and so wide. It's, you know, it's unminable, right?
Right.
You just never get finished harvesting that level of love, that crazy love. And it's so good.
Yeah, and the love that he gives you, you're able to pour out to other people. Yeah. And his love is what makes us whole.
Amen. Amen. I have felt so broken since I was grateful to be with my dad when he was taking his last breaths on this world. It was a sacred, sacred moment. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's really hard. It's just hard, you know, because I'm not enough in that moment. But he was with us, you know, we were not alone. And I don't know if you've ever been with someone who's dying like that. It's you're so powerless.
Yeah. Yeah, I have with my mom.
And what would this world be like if we didn't have Jesus to encourage us, to console us, that we can crawl up into his arms? I don't know. And I'm grateful. I never have to know. I never have to know. You know, I don't have to wonder if he'll ever leave me or forsake me. Mm. I don't ever have to experience life without him because of his faithfulness. He's good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by me. And, you know, that used to sound threatening and exclusive when I was far away, when I was at enmity with him. Well, guess what? All I had to do was come in.
Yeah.
I don't have to have everything figured out. I don't have to understand it. I can just surrender. I can lay my guns down and come in. And then he doesn't just not send me to hell. He makes me a child of God.
Yeah.
And he becomes my best friend in the whole world and never leaves me and like withholds no good thing from me. Wow.
That's wow. You
the
know,
great exchange, right?
Oh my goodness.
His death. He takes my death and gives me his life.
Yeah, that is so cool what you just said, Mary. That was a mouthful, because you were with your dad through the hospice. You were right beside him for like 2 weeks, right?
Just short of 2 weeks.
And gift. You know, people need to be with their loved ones, when especially when they're dying to
Some
be.
Some people can't, and that I
know.
Understand.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's.
But that is a special thing when you can be. I was with my sister and I were with my mom. Mm. And that's when you need people. But also,
and honestly, sorry to interrupt, sometimes people don't want their family there.
It's true.
And we have an idea of what it's supposed to look like. But some people, they don't want their family to have that memory. They don't want them. They feel like, you know, that would hurt their kids or their loved one, their spouse.
Mm.
And they make that choice. And yeah. So everybody's different. I've learned so much from other hospice nurses. I'm not a hospice nurse. I'm a tele step-down nurse. You know, I'm cardiac. And so we have kind of all the opposite goals of, you know, we've got to get you through. We've got to make sure you live. And in hospice, at end of life, with comfort is the goal. And quality of life is the goal. And so it's a way different. It's a way different and absolutely beautiful way to be a nurse. I wasn't my dad's nurse. He had a nurse and he had other people helping. We were not alone. So I am thankful for the hospice nurses and doctors.
Yeah.
I am thankful for all of the friends and family that came by.
Right.
I'm thankful for my dad had a caregiver these last couple of years who she did a lot of heavy lifting in terms of providing care and companionship to him.
Yeah.
And so we're thankful for her. Her name is Loreen, and she was an amazing comfort to my dad and to my brother and me.
Yeah. So that's so good, Mary. You just really hit the nail on the head. You know, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And that verse 5, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, Psalm 119:89-90 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Mm-hmm. You have established the earth and, And, you know, all generations, we might have children that are not serving the Lord currently, but we have that promise as we pray for them. And though, of course, it's their choice, but his faithfulness is to all generations.
We're praying for our children and grandchildren. And
yes.
And for the you know, not just our personal children,
but others.
These generations, amen.
Yes, Generation Z, what are the, Gen Z?
Oh, there's, I'm so out of it. I don't know.
When I
you
don't
get
know.
To, what do you do when you get to the end of the alphabet? I don't know.
I don't know.
Gen
Z.
I don't know.
But you know, Mary, I know. I was just.
I'm not hip enough to know.
Yeah, I just saw some amazing news.
You're a boomer and I'm Gen X, right?
Yeah, but on CBN News, and I'm a journalist, you know, that's my background, but there were 10,000 students packed. This is recently. Packed Texas A&M Stadium.
Right on.
And this is, God is faithful. Okay, 10,000 students packed Texas A&M Arena, hundreds born again, saying Jesus is changing lives. And it was Unite Us, a college campus evangelistic movement marked by salvations, worship, and water baptisms. And this was at Texas A&M, but I think there were other colleges who came in, because we've seen that ever since Asbury College had that
revival
and touch from the Lord, where they felt the liquid love of the Lord. The Lord's love showed up, that unconditional.
The Spirit rained down.
Yeah, and it wasn't
so beautiful.
So much miracles, but miracles did come. But the main deal was the love, the love, the love. God is love.
He is love. Amen. And his love is for everyone. If you are feeling far from God, he loves you. I love what Max Lucado said. He said, for God so loved the world. He said, are you in the world? Then God loves you.
Oh, wow.
And that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then let's look up John 3:17. And then John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want anyone to be on the outside. He wants you to come into his gates and enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise and with reconciliation. You know, we can have that through Jesus Christ. I don't have to become good to come to God. He is good.
I love that, Mary.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we enter his gates with thanksgiving in Psalm 96:2, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day.
Yeah. Jesus saves. Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you so much. We're so grateful to be here with you, listener, Robin and I. And Robin, I love you. I'm thankful for you.
Thankful for you, Mary. You're so dear to me.
Thankful for this time together. And and so, listener, we are praying for you. If you've prayed to receive Christ, please let us know. You can find our email address in the show notes. We've got a website where you can listen to more episodes. You can find Steps to Peace. There's a link at the bottom of that page where you can find a church to attend if you don't have a home church. We don't do this alone. You know, God loves each and every one of us, but he gave us the church. He gave us brothers and sisters. So we don't want you to go through life alone. Connect to a church and let us know how you're doing.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe so that this will show up in your feed more often. And it will also indicate to others that there is something you found of value here that they might be interested in. And we will see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Love you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Word Sower podcast. We're grateful for you and your interest in knowing God and His Scripture. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can have one starting today. Right now, right where you are, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins, living life my own way, and I want you to decide what my life should be. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Make me new and guide me. Your will be done. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new person in Jesus. We would love to hear from you and help you know what next steps to take. You can reach us at wordsowerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to the next time we're together when we will open up the Word of God and share how it has changed our lives with you.